Hello and welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Football Podcast. I am Liz Loza. I am here with Matt Harmon. Brett Rader is producing us brilliantly, as always. Our fearless leader who's posing so masculinely right now.
I got a Diet Coke. I'm ready to go.
What? Diet Coke, not Diet Dr. Pepper. Yo, the cafeteria has some crazy Diet Coke combinations.
They got the Coca-Cola freestyle machine.
I have never seen anything like it. It is too much for my basic Tom girl brain to handle. I just got the sparkling water and walked away.
Yeah, I just drink the water.
I know. Hashtag fit life. We got it.
Yeah. Well.
Cool. Anyway, you know who's not living the fit life right now?
Oh.
Saquon Barkley. I mean, he's trying. He was hopping like a little Robin Redbreast over the field.
You actually hate to see it. You really hate to see that. Second part.
But he's going to be out 4 to 8 weeks.
Well, it depends on which insider you look at.
That's true. There's a little insider heat between Rappaport and Schefter. But the good news is there is no surgery needed. The bad news is it is a high ankle sprain, and those tend to linger. So if he is out 8 weeks, you are not going to see him until week 11. The Giants have a week 10 bye. And here's the funnest part. He's going to be greeted back, assuming that that's the week he returns, by the Bears defense at Soldier Field.
Yeah.
Yay.
Sick. I mean, I've already had people ask me, like, should I trade this, then this for Saquon Barkley? I'm like, why do you want to do that to yourself, man? You want to burn a hole in your roster for
horrible schedule and a possible setback?
Yeah. And also just you're burning that hole in your roster for 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks. Like, you don't want that.
And no assurance that when he comes back, it's going to be great.
No, I mean, yeah, you have no idea what it's going to look like. You have no idea how you don't have a firm timeline. You know, like, what if this just takes forever? God, I looked up the Giants schedule and I got the damn baseball Giants. Please help me, Internet.
OK, I'm going to say more things while Matt deals with the Internet. So it's Wayne Gallman time. Get excited. He was added in a whopping 70% of Yahoo leagues because we all thirsty.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk Wayne Gallman. He's not a particularly spectacular athlete. He was a 4th-round pick out of Clemson in the 2017 draft. He is not creative, but he is hardworking.
He's a grinder.
Yes, I don't mind that. Like, if you work hard and you try to make up for the lack of talent with the effort, then great. But in terms of, I wrote down here, he's kind of a get what's blocked banger.
Yep. The good news is the Giants actually do have a really good offensive line this year, which is new.
It's a new
piece of information.
Well, their line is better, but I think some of the numbers might be inflated because Saquon is that good.
That's true. But I mean, they are 10th in adjusted line yards right now.
Look at you, 10th in adjusted line yards.
Which is a run blocking measurement that tries to isolate run blocking from what the running back gets or whatever. They were actually number one coming out of week two. So they've been really...
Look who prepped for the pod.
They've been really good this year. I mean, no, this one was easy.
All right. His upcoming schedule, though, if we're talking about Gallman's, is Washington. So that's exploitable this week.
Love it.
Then versus Minnesota, yikes. At New England, versus Arizona, fine. At Detroit,
solid.
So of those four, though, of the first four, there's only like two exploitable matchups for a guy who is not by no means Saquon Barkley.
That people are blowing like 80% of their waiver budgets on out there.
For reference, against Washington, who we agree is exploitable, he is the Yahoo consensus RB21.
Seems fair. And like, that's probably the best you're hoping for out of a guy like Wayne Gallman. So maybe if he goes out and has a big week, like falls a couple times in the end. Damn, I said fall in the end zone. I hate that. If he goes and he scores 2 touchdowns or something this week, puts up a decent line, maybe you go out and you trade him for right after that, like based on that hype, for someone that you actually trust a little more. The point I was going to make on Saquon Barkley when I was looking up the schedule, what people are excited about is that the fact that he has in week 15 and 16, he has the Dolphins and Washington, which is obviously quite juicy. But there's so much if there.
Yeah,
like,
I don't like playing that game.
I hate that because I'm like, you might not make the frickin' championship in week 16, you overconfident jackass.
You don't know what happens to teams between now and then.
Well,
either.
I don't think anything's going to happen to the Dolphins that's going to make them a stout run defense.
That's fair. We should probably talk about Melvin Gordon, another running back that people, if you were drafting at least before August, were drafting in the top five. He ended his holdout today, but he will not play against the aforementioned Miami Dolphins this Sunday. He is expected back week 5 versus Denver. I'm going to actually throw this to you because you have been all over the Yahoo, the site and the social channels,
the website
for Yahoo, talking about Austin Eckler and giving your take, which I agree with. But since you have already given it and probably can do so more succinctly than I.
Yeah.
Take it
so
away.
I think that obviously Melvin Gordon's going to come back and, you know, Anthony Lynn says he's going to get the top spot on the depth chart. We don't expect anything different than that. But the reason I'm not panicking about Austin Eckler is, well, for a lot of different reasons. Number one, I don't see any reason for them to take him out of the primary pass catching and scoring zone work because he's crushed it in those two areas. He has 6+ catches in every single game, and he's scored 3 total touchdowns inside the 10-yard line. Remember back to Melvin Gordon's rookie year when he was like an early down banger and Danny Woodhead held the, like, he had just, Melvin had the stone worst role for fantasy, which is between the 20s and I'm not catching passes. Mm-hmm. And Danny Woodhead was like a top 5 PPR running back because he scored touchdowns and caught passes. I'm not going to say that Eckler's going to hold that role specifically, but I think that he could have something like that, which would make him still a fantasy starter. And also, I know people hate this line of logic because it's just, who really knows what the team is thinking, but Austin Eckler is still going to be a part of the 2020 Chargers. You know, he's going to be on a cheap contract. Melvin Gordon is not going to be, you know, if he doesn't get, if he still wants to hit free agency with his contract demands, you know, that's great. It's just not going to happen in LA. They've shown that. So I don't see why the Chargers would suddenly just remove Eckler completely from the game plan and be like, we're going to ride Melvin Gordon into the dirt until we have to send him, you know, send him on his way at the end of the season.
Well, why wouldn't they?
Because
why not get all the value you can knowing that he's not going to return?
Because I think that if they wanted to do that, I would just seem, I mean, maybe.
I mean, they've been brutal to him, right? They've been like, nope, we're not, we don't care. We have, you can end your holdout. Thanks for coming back. Now we're going to use you and now we're mad.
But I think that, I mean, that's, this is why it's like nebulous analysis. But at the same time, it's also like they were, I mean, from Philip Rivers on down, everyone said, hey, we're fine if Melvin Gordon stays away because we have good backs here otherwise. Like, it would seem counterintuitive to...
Why not save Austin then? Why not? Why risk getting hurt?
This is a small window for this team, right? Like, they're already showing the thin margin for error they have because they keep having players getting hurt. They have clearly defined weaknesses on the roster. And if... I don't think they can afford to say, hey, we're going to try this again in 2020. Like, they have an old quarterback. They have a flawed roster that I think they want to try to get to a championship this year.
So they would save Gordon until the potential postseason.
I just don't think they're going to look at it in any way of like, we need to save Gordon for this. We need to save Eckler for that. I think it's just, we need our good players on the field. We'll be a better team with Melvin Gordon on the field, no doubt about it, but we'll still be a very good team if we also have Austin Eckler mixing in. And Eckler's a guy who's been a part of the committee anyways. I mean, even before this year, you know, he's not just like a total unknown. He was a guy who averaged over 10 yards per catch, averaged over 5 yards per carry in both of his 2 years. So I think they really like what they get out of Eckler. And I just think, like, obviously he's not going to have running back one appeal like he did the first 3 weeks and what he probably will have when he goes out and curb stomps the Dolphins this weekend. But I do think that, you know, he'll still hold that passing down scoring area work. And for that reason, that's still going to make, I mean, those are the money touches in fantasy. I don't really care if Melvin Gordon comes in and takes in a bunch of work between the 20s. That just doesn't really matter as much.
Also, I think we can agree that Gordon is going to be eased back in. So he'll have Denver in week 5. But I wouldn't imagine the fullest workload that he could even potentially have, regardless of this argument.
Right. That's the thing, too. You know? Right. I mean, he's not going to be in quote unquote football shape.
No, he won't. I mean, it won't be until like week 7 or 8 that I think we can see how he's actually going to be used.
Yeah.
And week 8 is at Chicago. So good luck there. I do want to talk about Justin Jackson, though, because if people still have him and haven't dropped him yet and had a knee-jerk reaction upon the Gordon returning news, this is a fantastic week to have him. Let's not forget, even though it's not showing up in the box score, he has had a touchdown called back in back-to-back efforts, and his snap percentage has grown every week. It's not huge. It's still, you know, it's like 37%, so it's not great, but he Miami has given up 6 touchdowns total to the running back position, 4 on the ground, 2 via the air. And it's also worth noting that in week 3, Jackson converted all 4 of his targets, his highest number of looks against Houston. So I think that he is going to, for at least right now, be a sneaky play because it's such a juicy matchup. And then after this week, you know, see what kind of value he has.
Yeah, he's also good, right? I mean, like,
he's super good. I think he would have more value. But as you mentioned, Eckler's getting all of the passing work.
Yeah, and this is a team that honestly, I don't know what type of team they're really going to be going forward because, like, their defense has been okay, not as good as we thought.
No, it's underperformed.
Yeah, right.
Like this defense should be a much better defense. Casey Hayward's also, like, banged up right now.
Yeah, and their pass rushers haven't been
great. Dominant.
And their offensive line is a huge problem.
Sure.
So I think, yeah, they haven't really been able to establish the run with Jackson either, but he has 9.5, 8.4, and 5.2 yards per carry in both of it in his three games this year. So I think that's maybe the type of role a little bit more than that you're looking at with Melvin
Austin
Gordon.
Eckler after Gordon comes back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think this is the role you're looking at with, like, Melvin Gordon is, like, I think he's going to get a lot of that between the 20 looks and then.
So wait, how many touches per week do you think Gordon will see? 10 carries and 3.
12 to 13.
Total. So, yeah, like 10, 10 yep. carries and 3 catches.
You had about it right. Yeah. That's what I would say.
And I don't think so. I think you're wrong.
You think it's more?
I do.
Yeah. I think it's totally possible.
Yeah. I think
we'll have to see what happens when the game starts.
I mean, guess so. Hey, I know Matt, you in particular love tight end talk. It's like one of your favorite things.
Hell yeah. Nothing I love better than a good old tight end position.
Yeah. Nick Vinette. He's a tight end in Seattle, or he was.
He was. Former third round pick.
He's traded to Pittsburgh. So when I saw this news, I was like, oh my gosh, my sweet baby Vance McDonald is not right after that shoulder injury that brought him out of the first half of last week's game. He was seen with his arm in a sling earlier in the week. But then reports today said that, you know, he's probably going to play. So maybe. And I can't stop. A couple of things you've said continue to ring in my brain, but one of those, yeah, is Vance McDonald. It's always Vance McDonald season.
Yeah.
And this, I was like, oh, it is always Vance McDonald season. And I think the Steelers also have heard that from you, probably.
Totally.
I mean, I know AB liked a tweet once, so maybe it's residually still there or still
not,
a part of
it. Not them, quite Brandis. The story, but that's fine.
So I think they know it's always Vance McDonald season, and so they're adding some insurance. I do think if Vance McDonald plays, like, the Bengals got trucked last week by Dawson Knox. Trucked.
Yeah.
And
that was after getting completely dominated in all facets by the 49ers a week before.
Sure. So
my 49ers, yeah. Some would say.
So the matchup is great for McDonald if he plays. I have him, assuming health, down for 4 receptions, 44 yards, and a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, the more important thing about this Vinette trade. Brett, I'm sorry. Is it hot in here? Like, is it?
No.
I'm really hot.
Okay.
Is it? I think it's Will Disley fever.
Oh!
I think that's why I'm burning up.
Oh, my God! I've been owned. I was thinking, I was like, you know, she just said it was cold, like,
that's
before
why
we started.
You're like, we're complaining about how cold it is. Oh!
I was just feeling a little, I'm schwitzing here. It's
so
not Minshew mania, but it is Disley fever, baby. What? Sure, a little knee soreness kept him out of doing what he was meant to do in
week 1.
We're
going to have to go to the DMV because we have to transfer the ownership of me from no one to you. Now you own me.
My condolences. Anyway, I am warming to the big guy from Big Sky. How about that?
You're crushing this entire segment.
He's the standalone, and he's at Arizona this week, and I cannot take it. Give me 6 receptions for 69 nice yards and a touchdown. Nice.
I think you could go over that.
I'm being conservative with my thing.
You got to hit that 69 mark.
Also, I don't want anything to combust because of the heat.
Right. Fair point. I think, obviously, huge news for Disley, who has played well. Like, that's your guy. And by the way, you know that Will Disley is such an unknown. I do this segment for this DFS unboxing segment. And
I've seen it. I like it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Still waiting to catch on. Comes out on social media and the website on Fridays. Anyways, but
catch on like how?
Catch its rhythm. You know, you do things a few times. It's like, there are ways you can get better.
Like, you need reps just like Mason Rudolph. That's the theory.
I don't know. Mason Rudolph needs a lot more than reps.
That's what people are saying. That's the excuse that people are giving him. Do you know that? Like that. I've listened to some talk radio and they're like, he just needs reps. And I was like, no.
What do you listen to the talk radio for?
Talk podcasts? I don't
talk
know.
Talk podcasts. Talk podcasts as opposed to all the ASMR podcasts out there. Those probably exist, actually. Anyways, point. What the hell was I talking about? Oh, okay.
Unboxing.
Will Disley, he's such an unknown that there's only, one gif of him, and he looks like an absolute, mountain
yes,
human.
He does.
And he just, he's given just thumbs up, and
He rides horses and definitely like cattle things.
Our favorite video producer was like, are you sure this is, it's Robbie. Yeah. Are you sure this is a right person? There's only one GIF. Like, that's what an unknown we're talking about here with Will Disley. So like, you're getting a huge steal here if you picked him up based on Liz's advice like 3 weeks ago.
In the preseason, yo.
Yeah.
I liked him a lot.
I mean this is why you're a peach picking specialist.
I try.
On Pittsburgh, though, I think that there's a couple ways to look at this too, right? Like, I think that it could be about Vance McDonald injury. It could be about, you know, just the fact that it's always Vance season, but it's actually never Vance season.
I mean, it was in week two.
Yeah, he got a couple pop gun passes from...
That's all he needs.
From old Mason there.
He's used as a slot receiver. Like, that's his job.
Yeah.
Old Mason. Get out of here.
Old Mason Rudolph. I think also it could be that the team wants to play more two tight end sets. You know, like Xavier Grimble, like he pops up for a thing every now and again, but maybe they just like Nick Vanette's ability as a blocker. Their offensive line has been problematic. James Conner's been... The Steelers are...
They suck.
They suck. They're this so... bad.
Mike Munchak is like, ha, look at what
I mean,
amazing.
He's in Denver, so like
that O-line's, that might be the only good thing.
That, and yeah, I guess that's a fair point.
Come on.
Still
yeah,
zero.
James Conner, like, he's going down.
When someone sneezes around him.
I was gonna say something else, but thanks for saving me from the bleep.
Oh, all right. Now I'm kind of curious. also, like, the team did move Juju Smith-Schuster like back into the slot last week because they're like, oh, he can't play outside. Like, let's get Deontay Johnson.
I mean, like, why was he not paying attention? Why weren't they paying attention, Fickner, to your success rate versus
reception perception?
No. I was trying to do
success
the
rate versus coverage.
CV.
What are we doing here?
SRVC.
There you go. No one's called it that for like 3 years. Thanks for reading.
That's, I've been a fan of yours since back then. How about that?
That's great. I love it. Now, are the Steelers actually going to be good against the Bengals? That's the question. Because they're a terrible defense.
Yo, if they're not, that's kind of amazing.
I'll ship them off to sea.
Everybody in Cincinnati is going to have themselves a day. The barbecue is going to be sold out.
Yeah. I mean, the chili will be flowing.
And you know what else flows after chip? Ooh, clean up. Clean up. Matt, you were making a point about Deontay Johnson.
I think Deontay Johnson's really interesting. I mean, he runs 25 routes last week. That was third most on the team. He makes a big play. And against this Bengals secondary, he's a guy that I think he's worth adding right now because I think there's a chance that he could be the best separator on the team. You know, in a peak situation, I think he's like Steelers Emmanuel Sanders, you know, like not Broncos Emmanuel Sanders, but like Steelers Emmanuel Sanders, where he would pop up for big games every now and again. He's nothing special, like resume wise, but I thought he was a nice little route runner in college.
Well, they need someone to catch touchdowns and thrive on the outside because Dante Moncrief, as I have lived through, ain't cutting it. So he's lost his job.
He might get cut.
Actually, I put on my Instagram stories, is it Deontay Johnson season SCN? And people were like, no, it's James Washington time. And I was like, I don't think so.
It is worth noting that Jason Verrett pottied all the way down Narrative Street last week because James Washington looked like he was about to haul in a nice deep look from Mason Rudolph. And then old Jason Verrett just gave him the hook and brought it all down and brought Narrative Street to a tumble.
For those of you looking for, like, if you don't have enough wide receiver three.
You don't have enough useless wide receivers that you're going to debate starting every week.
And then ask us about which ones
and
to
then
start.
We pick the wrong ones, inevitably. That's the worst when you get like three clear wide receiver threes and it's just, what are we doing here? Yeah, I mean, Deontay Johnson, I don't think he's going to change your fantasy season, but he certainly could be a guy that, you know, he helps you out every now and again. If this offense clicks, like you saying that people just say Mason Rudolph needs more reps, I don't know. I think this off. I don't even know. It's going to be tough for them. The Steelers are in an awful, awful spot, right? Because they have to evaluate Mason Rudolph this year, but they have a horrible offense within to evaluate him. And if he flops, and then if the team flops around him, they're going to have like a top 10 pick. But oh, wait, they won't have it.
Oh, the draft situation is horrible for them.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Deontay Johnson's only owned in 5% of Yahoo leagues. And I, spoiler alert, may be talking him up in my fantasy damage segment on FFL 90 minutes before kickoff this Sunday.
And I need to change my fantasy freebies section now, apparently.
And we're not going to change anything else because Dalton Del Don is going to come on the show in a little bit and save it. As promised, Dalton Del... Dalton, I have missed... I should say your whole name. Hold on. As promised, Dalton Del Don is joining us on the show. Dalton, I have to admit, I have not seen enough of you. I have barely seen you at all, not since we went to Vegas in July. I missed you, bud.
I miss you too, Liz. It's been far too long since I've been here on the pod. I'm scheduling conflicts and whatnot. Not only did I miss you, Liz, but also fellow 49er fan Matt Harmon, too.
Yeah, so,
great to be here.
But you missed me more.
Yeah,
right?
Great to be here, guys.
You missed me more, right? Right, yes. Thanks.
I mean,
oh,
Dalton.
Yes, of course. That goes without saying, Liz.
Yeah. We go way back, Harmon. Come on.
Dalton. Ah, no, no. I'm not stepping on that. I just want to talk about our 49ers for a second. I mean, I thought that we'd be like, you know, I thought that we'd be a, like, interesting offensive team, but I've been pleasantly surprised with what a badass defense this team kind of has right now.
Yeah, I claim to go from a bottom five front, you know, front seven there to a top five, and that front four really is getting after it. I mean, Buckner's finally not getting all the defensive attention in the middle. It's I mean, obviously they got to clean up some sloppiness, but I mean, crazy. First game they won since like 1998, committing five turnovers. Just yeah, something to be definitely get encouraged right now. For
what
sure.
are you bros going to do to commiserate while the 49ers are on bye? What a wonderful team to talk about for our listeners right now.
It's kind of a relief, actually, yeah, right. to be honest. Like, you know, because now I don't even have to worry about what my favorite team is going to do this week. You know, like I know they're going to stay undefeated. I know my team will be undefeated coming out of week four.
Dalton, are you as confident or are you a little more worried?
No, I'm pretty confident about coming out of the bye, not losing. But you know what else too? Their next game is a Monday nighter too. So I, you know, I have to stay at home and watch all the games on Sunday. So I actually get to go watch them beat up on the Browns. So I'm excited to actually get to see them in person when they next suit up.
Hell yeah! Can't wait for them to take down the league's most overrated player per Rex Ryan.
Wow. Okay, so let's get to teams and players that are actually playing in week four.
If we must.
Dalton, you wrote a rather prescient article back on August 6th heading into this season about a little strategy you like to employ called zero, not RB, but wait for it, wide receiver. So why don't you tell our listeners, since you did author this article, what exactly that means and how you employ it? Because I do think it is bearing out quite lovely this season. Lovely.
Yeah, nothing super crazy, just that I was an advocate of going running back heavy early, even if it was your four straight running backs, even your first bench spot. I said just load up on the position. And I kind of related it to fantasy baseball, where I liked targeting starting pitchers in the middle rounds. And that's where these middle tier wide receivers, I just thought, screamed value. Guys like MVS, Curtis Samuel, Will Fuller, a few Moncriefs in there as well. And, you know, so far, I'd say that strategy has been fine. And we'll talk about the weird top 10 of the wide receiver position. I think it's been good. I think I'd argue it's been well, went well. But as I point out in the article, the most important thing above any strategy is picking the right players. And I've been hit and miss there. You know, I loved Nick Chubb in the first round earlier than most. I have a lot of Damian Williams, Aaron Jones, Devonta Freeman, a few Mark Ingram and Derrick Henry sprinkled in. But, you know, you really just got to get the right players is ultimately the right answer.
That's an excellent point. But yeah, so let's talk about these top 10, because, for instance, Terry McLaurin, right? He is selling out every week, rookie out of Ohio State. The biggest story, I mean, this guy was a guy who was supposed to be great on special teams, and yet he is making plays week after week, not with his former teammate Dwayne Haskins, but with Case Keenum. You have him ranked within your top 10 this week at the New York Giants. So there's a player that I think fits into this strategy that probably went undrafted, frankly, in a lot of leagues.
Yeah, see, again, talking about, I went after all the rookie running backs on my team, the Damian Harris, the Hendersons, and I miss all these rookie receivers is where you needed to get them. I mean, there's Metcalf, Hardman, Marquise Brown, and McLaurin is the real deal, man. I'm treating him as a surefire starter, weekly starter. I love the matchup this week. We'll get more into that in depth later, that game specifically, but you look at the air yards, the target share, the whopper, all the stats just scream this being an absolute legit start, maybe unlike the next guy on the list, John Ross, right below him, wide receiver 9. That might be a bit more fluky getting it in garbage time. But McLaurin, yeah, this rookie, I don't believe I have him anywhere. And it's to my detriment. He just looks like the real deal.
Two things. I really want to know who in Washington's organization dropped that. Hey, we thought like Terry McLaurin was just a special teamer to Booger because he hammered that. Which, wow. by the way, Booger's yeah. the stone worst.
So but bad.
He hammered that point on Monday Night Football, and I really want to know like which person in Washington's brass told him, "Oh, well, we thought the 76th overall pick was just going to be a special teamer." But nevertheless, can't you guys like? Let me just throw this out here about Terry McLaurin. Can't you guys just perfectly see, because fantasy football just, you know, this is what happens. The first 3 weeks, Terry McLaurin goes out and scores a touchdown, you know, totally beasts. Then he plays the Giants and just throws up an absolute dud in like a perfect matchup. Can't you just see that just being one of those things? And oh, by the way,
late injury ad.
McLaurin's got a late hamstring injury ad. Yeah. It's happening, folks.
So I think what you might be gleaning there is that Danny Dimes has given this entire team such a spark that now Janoris Jenkins plays football instead of giving up 3 touchdowns, admittedly, to Mike Evans.
Oh, no, I'm not saying it's anything other than just flukiness. Hope is poison.
Sure.
Yeah.
If that were the case,
totally,
though,
I get what you're saying.
If you want an even deeper dive, Paul Richardson, who has been a sleeper dart throw plenty of times, has scored in back-to-back weeks here. So if McLaurin is out, I still think Paul Richardson might be a really cheap minimum.
Oh, man, totally. I want to talk more about that game later for these reasons. Yeah, Paul
well,
Richardson,
go do
I liked
it.
Even
go talk about the damn
even
game.
Even before this McLaurin injury, I really liked Richardson. I mean, DeAndre yes. Baker's literally allowed the most fantasy points per route this season. Both these teams are top 5 in pace. They're both bottom 5 in DVOA defense. So sneaky high total. I mean, I really think that game could be a shootout. So, yeah, Paul Richardson, but Matt is totally right. It doesn't never goes the way it's supposed to go. In fact, they often just spits in your face and laughs at when you think it's going to. So McLaurin's now going to be the guy who probably does disappoint. But, man, all signs point to him being real, and this week sets up for another monster performance. If he is healthy, though, but that's definitely something to follow, that injury. Late injury reports late in the week, hate that.
Dalton's right. That game's up from a 46.5 point total to a 49-pointer.
Look at you tracking lines, Matt Harmon.
This is a nice page here with all these colors. It makes it easy.
Dig it. What are your thoughts? I know Matt's thoughts on Sammy Watkins, him not being consistent. What are your thoughts, though, on Sammy Watkins this week in particular, Dalton?
Oh, Sammy Watkins made me look so dumb. He's the guy I probably had him ranked lowest in the industry at wide receiver to start the year, and I said avoid him. And he looks not only so good did he look in week one, but obviously losing Tyreek Hill helped him long term. The targets have been nice, but I think he's just going to continue to disappoint the people that expected him to be that way, obviously, like he has been since then. A little bit erratic, obviously not the greatest route runner. Harmon know far better than me in that area. But you love the situation, but it sounds like Tyreek Hill is coming back pretty soon. So if you're going to sell him, that window is probably too late. But man, he's already been such a profit because you know, where fantasy owners got him, and he's been, what, the number 3 fantasy wide receiver so far?
Yeah, I mean, he's been number 3 fantasy receiver, and he only has 11 for 113
yeah.
after his week one explosion. So, yeah, I mean, we don't need to do the I told you so thing enough here on this podcast about Sammy Watkins after week one. But, I mean, we did kind of tell you that.
What about talking about DJ Chark, who I adore?
Who I did not see coming at all.
I didn't see him coming. He has scored in 3 games straight. This is another one that plays into Dalton's 0 wide receiver strategy. He's the wide receiver 6 so far on the season, but he is at Denver this week. And Chris Harris is a pretty good cornerback, right? In fact, last week in the Off Your Game segment of Fantasy Football Live, I mentioned Devontae Adams because I had so much belief in Chris Harris. And in fact, Harris held him to like 56 yards, something like that, out of the end zone. He's been a beast all season. DJ Chark is likely to draw Chris Harris's coverage. So is all lost? No, because as we've mentioned plenty of times, the Denver Broncos have yet to create a sack. Now, if we are following Matt Harmon's theory of hope is poison, this is, of course, the week that things start to turn around for the Denver Broncos. But if it doesn't, and Gardner Minshew continues to keep this offense high-flying-ish, or at least more flying than it ever has been in most recent years, then Chris Connolly, I think, is much more of a play and someone that I am particularly interested in. He will be covered by former AAF standout Devontae Bosby, who took over for Yidam? Isaac? Yidam?
I mean, always good.
Isaac Yidam.
Yidam. Okay. He took over for Isaac Yidam because Yidam was so bad last week that Fangio was like, get out of here. But I will take Chris Connolly over Bosby any day. Not any day. They're probably both journeymen, but whatever. I like Connolly more, and he has been doing nice downfield things, even if he's not seeing the targets or doesn't have quite the chemistry that
I was wrong about D.D. Westbrook. I liked him.
Oh, this get guy out aggressively, of here with that.
Aggressively ranked him. I guess I could partially blame the quarterback injury, but one thing I did like Shark as a deep sleeper and ended up him as a late round flyer in a few to counter that, thankfully. But Conley, I like your reasoning here with Chris Harris shutting down the others. And Minshew, you got to like his ability to move around there. Man, what a fun player and on and off the field so far. So I like Conley as a deep sleeper. I'm using it myself in a NFFC big money league. So I hope you're right.
Oh, so am I. Are we in the same one?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Are there any other of these kind of... Oh, John Ross. Do you believe? Are you believing or do you think it's fluky, Dalton? Just real quick.
Little flukier than the others, for sure. Like the garbage time long one. But man, I mean, the guy had the pedigree, one of the fastest 40 of all time, top 10 pick or whatever. So, I mean, you got to like him if you have him. I mean, I bid on him in one for 40% of my budget and I'm happy. But play more of a matchups guy. Obviously, AJ Green is going to come back and that's going to hurt him too.
Since we're talking about wide receivers, we have to mention T.Y. Hilton because he does have this quad injury. He hasn't practiced yet this week, but he is not a player who necessarily needs to practice. It wouldn't surprise me if he's a game time decision on Sunday. Maybe you hear something on Saturday, but I think then you're lucky. So behind T.Y. Hilton, though, you got a lot of mess. There's nothing that you really want to believe in here, but let's say you're banged and you have to. I'm going to put you guys to it. You've got Deion Kane, who played the most in week 3 at 56% of the snaps. But that was also the same game that Zach Pascal saw the most targets and got the touchdown. And that was weird because the week before it was Paris Campbell who got the score. Right. So like we thought that it was going to be a Paris Campbell situation. Who of these three receivers would you, if you had to, roll with?
Everyone's jumping to answer this question. Man. I mean, God, if you're really in a spot like this, that's tough.
It happens to people. This is not unimaginable thing.
I get it. Yeah, I mean, Pascal runs the fewest routes of all these guys. I think that's kind of a chasey one.
Chester Rogers is still in the mix. Any love for him? We should mention his name. No, of course not.
No. I mean, I think if you're going with these guys, maybe you go with one of the tight ends.
Then they're split too.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you're taking as big of a risk there, but Doyle runs
Ebron's
more routes.
Seen more targets behind. Ebron is second in team targets behind T.Y. Hilton.
I think maybe you chase Ebron there in that situation. Just ignore these wide receivers.
I think I'd go with Campbell because he's the most versatile. He did a lot of gadgety stuff in college, and he has had the most red zone looks. He's only owned in 4% of leagues. So if I'm just going to go for the, like, who I think could score the touchdown, to me, it's Paris Campbell. I don't feel great about it at all, though. Dalton, which one would you throw a dart at?
I like Deion Kane, the player the best right now, but Campbell plays a slot the most, and that matches up best this week. So give me him if I'm forced to choose that game. But I'd say go pick up Devin Smith or Randall Cobb or Travis Benjamin if Mike Williams is out, or aforementioned Paul Richardson. There's some other deeper wide receivers out there, too. But yeah, they just spread it around so much outside of T.Y. Hilton.
Dalton, we're going to look at matchups now. You mentioned Washington at New York. You've already talked about Richardson and McLaurin. Is there any other part of this game that you want to touch on before we move to Matt's matchup?
Yeah, real quick. I mean, I have Daniel Jones, a top 10 QB this week. Gallman, a top 15 running back. Shepard, borderline top 20. Ingram, I mean, the question now is he the number one, not is he number two, because it's clear he's the number two. I think it'd be a second round fantasy pick if a draft held today. And so basically, I have everyone ranked aggressively. We talked about the Washington couple receivers there. And the biggest thing, obviously, I'm sure Danny Dimes has been talked about enough, but I'd love to see his follow up because, you know, he did most of his damage last week when pressured. And the clean pocket stats typically are the stickier. So I love it. I hope he's the real deal. And again, I ranked him aggressively and I'm rolling with him in a couple fantasy leagues. Love the running ability for fantasy, but curious to see if he's the real deal.
Matt, do you want to go ahead and talk about your matchup now?
Yeah. The game I'm most looking forward to watching or tracking is Cleveland at Baltimore. The Browns are bad. Like they're not a good team right now because for a lot of different reasons, but I think the number one thing coming out of, and Liz, you and I were talking about this a little bit before we got started recording here. I think right now it is so, so clear that Freddie Kitchens has too much on his plate. And, you know, it's funny because I think this question just wasn't talked about enough, but with all that was going on with the Browns, I think the one question that people just didn't talk about enough was, we know a lot about Freddie Kitchens as a play caller. Freddie Kitchens as a play caller is aggressive. We love it. We love a lot of the decisions he makes, the personnel that he works with. But Freddie Kitchens, the head coach, we knew literally 0.0 about. Like, that was a big jump. And then he's bringing on Todd Monken to work with the offense or be the offensive coordinator, but not call the plays. So he's still going to keep play calling duties. Oh, by the way, this offense has a very clear defined weakness, which is the offensive line. And it's starting to take its toll on the quarterback already. And the quarterback is not playing up to standard. So you have a lot of problems going on, and you have a head coach that has his responsibilities all over the place. It's his first time doing it. It's a lot to take on. It's very clear to me, like, the Browns and especially Freddie Kitchens have to kind of take a look in the mirror right now and be like, okay, what can we do to salvage this season quickly? Because we're sitting here at 1-2, and our only win is over a hapless Jets team, and we still made too many mistakes there. So they're a team right now that I think you have to adjust a lot of expectations for until you literally see a change happen. And then, of course, going into Baltimore, I don't think makes it any easier. The Ravens' defense has been pretty good so far, of course, except when you play Patrick Mahomes. Nobody's good when you play Patrick Mahomes. And then the offense is having that Browns-type season, like that breakout-type season that we all would have thought would have come from Cleveland. So it's very. I think this game is going to – we'll know a lot about both teams coming out of it, especially like the Ravens are coming off a week where, you know, they lost to Mahomes. Lamar had a slower game. Does he come out with another bounce back performance?
We should also mention that the secondary is still banged up. The Brown secondary is still banged up. So that would lead to Lamar having much more of a bounce back than he did last week, at least.
Right.
One would hope.
And their offensive line. Like the thing about Cleveland, like the Rams tried to give him that game. Several times the Rams tried to give them that game late. I mean, Goff hasn't played well in what feels like forever.
Since that Philadelphia game last week or last year. Is the game we lost to Philadelphia.
Was that before or after the Chiefs game?
That was after the Chiefs game.
Yeah. I mean, even then a couple games out. Yeah.
That was a game I had the fever for.
He's been a net neutral asset at best so far, and a net negative at worst.
Well, I dig that you're talking about the Rams, because the game that I want to talk about is Tampa Bay at the Rams. I didn't see this one coming. I don't know if you did, Dalton, but forget Shaquille Barrett. He should be named Sack Barrett, because he's been an absolute beast since the season started. He's managed 7 sacks over his last 2 games. The Rams offensive line has been not good, not nearly as good as they need to be. Jared Goff has been laid out 5 times over the last 2 weeks. I just don't understand, frankly. The line on this game is 50. It's the second highest line of the week, according to Vegas. I'm going to hammer the under on this one. Aqib Talib is playing out of his mind. The Rams have yet to give up a score to a wide receiver at all this season. They've allowed under 400 total yards to wide receivers. I don't think Goff's going to be able to get the ball out. I don't think there's going to be enough production for all 3 of these Rams receivers to eat. We know that everyone's worried about Todd Gurley, and I think for good reason now. And I don't understand what's happening on the Tampa Bay side of things. You've got Mike Evans going off, but also Chris Godwin's dealing with a hip injury. Bruce Arians refuses to use O.J. Howard. I mean, he did a little bit in the first half of last week's game, so you had a moment of optimism,
and then that was
quickly dashed, right? So I think what's interesting about these 2 offenses is that we believed heading into the season that they would be up-tempo and high-flying and productive enough that all 3 of the pieces, the main receiving pieces here, would be able to produce for fantasy. And I don't think that's true. And I'm worried about which ones are going to produce on a week-to-week basis. And they may become very matchup dependent. And I think that's going to be interesting to watch as we continue the week.
I mean, it's a mess right now. This Rams offense, it's brutal.
The Rams offense doesn't look, I mean, Todd Gurley's averaging 14.7 carries per game and 2 targets per game. But his receiving work has frankly been all over the place. And on the other side of things, I am not messing with the Tampa Bay backfield.
No.
Like I have dipped my toe in the adventure of it. I wanted to love Ronald Jones. Peyton Barber, you made a great statement, Matt, about Bruce Arians coming out of retirement to establish the run with Peyton Barber. That got a lot of chuckles and likes. Fantastic. I don't like it. I mean, I like the statement. It was witty. But I don't like what you were talking about. Rojo seeing like half of the workload last week. Like, I think these teams are much more evenly matched than anybody wanted them to be.
Neither of these offenses are what we expected. Like, this sort of a shootout between these 2 teams would have made sense in preseason, but not from what we've seen over the first 3 weeks.
Any thoughts on that contest from you, Dalton?
I kind of like Goff this week, actually. It's a huge home road splits. Tampa Bay's a funnel defense. They're like number two in the DVOA run defense. So I kind of like the, and Cooper Kupp, I did not rank aggressively enough. It's just a monster in the red zone. Just God, man, he's clearly separated himself.
He's the only wide receiver I feel comfortable playing.
Yeah. I mean, Woods has done nothing.
No, nothing. Yeah, Gurley doesn't look right to me. And their blocking has not been as good for Gurley as well. It's not just on him. So I kind of like Goff in this. It's a huge, huge home road splits. But Godwin's banged up. And, man, I have a lot of O.J. Howard, too, has been just a total nightmare. So that side. So you guys are calling for this game to be close, it sounds like.
I think at least it would. I don't think it will be nearly as high scoring as people think.
That's what I think. You know? I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if it's a one-score game between the two.
Because that's the thing about the Rams is that, like, as much hand wringing as there is over the offense, they're still
3-0.
They're 3-0.
Yeah.
And, you know, beating the Panthers, even with a broken Cam Newton, the Panthers, and he hadn't re-aggravated that foot injury yet.
Well, Wade Phillips still knows what he's doing on defense.
Right. That's the thing. This is a defensive team so far through the first 3 weeks. Like, that's what's different, too, is not just the offense isn't just not good, but the defense is actually very good. All things are kind of coming together there.
Dalton, you said you like Jared Goff. Do you also like him in daily fantasy? And if you don't, who is your bargain and who is your fade?
Cool. Okay. Wayne Gallman's just $10. I mean, that's a stone minimum in Yahoo this week. I already said, I mean, I like that offensive line has really improved. The Giants made the offseason trade. And, you know, last week they faced a Bucs team that was actually the number one ranked run defense in DVOA. I think they're number two now. So that would be my pick. I think Gallman's not a special player, but he started for that Clemson team that won the national championship. And I think he's just the clear guy and looking at good volume in a game that both top five in pace. It should feature a lot of plays. And to fade, Michael Thomas, $30. Admittedly, you guys took my top two picks in this category this week. Sunday night football is fun to use those players. You know, Yahoo allows that. I like it. But we're talking Byron Jones and we're talking Teddy Bridgewater, who just looks awful. Don't worry about them winning last week. Look at his YPA and it looks ugly to me. I know he's locked on to Thomas, but I would not pay the price there.
I mean, for me, my bargain is definitely DK Metcalf. I think that there's going to be a week where DK Metcalf just goes ham and like wins you your fantasy league. And I think this could be it, right? Obviously, number one, they play the Cardinals. I don't know if you all have paid attention to this, but the Cardinals are quite bad. They're quite, quite bad on defense. And I think Metcalf could be in a position to finish as like a top 20, top 15 wide receiver this week. Right now, Russell Wilson's white hot. He's completing 70% of his passes, 7-0 touchdown to interception ratio. And DK Metcalf, you know, despite that preseason surgery, he's been the clear number two receiver. He's played on 84% of the team's snaps. He's run 109 routes. That's second most behind only Tyler Lockett. And he's also been getting those vertical looks. He has 338 air yards on the season. That ranks ninth in the NFL and actually ahead of Tyler Lockett. So Metcalf could convert on a couple big looks this week. I really like him at just $15 in Yahoo Daily Fantasy. And then my fade is Dalvin Cook. Really only because he's $37. I believe that's the second most expensive, if you don't count Saquon Barkley, second most expensive behind only Christian McCaffrey. And, you know, playing a tough Bears defense, we know that. And, you know, I look at this game and I can't believe that the Bears are only $15 in terms of defenses. This seems like a great spot for them against Minnesota, who, of course, makes a ton of mistakes. I could see this. Dalvin Cook's been like the best player in fantasy through the first 3 weeks, but I could see this being his first slow game. And I just see many more options. Like Kamara is only $30. David Johnson's only $24. I'll take a couple tier down there and go with them over Dalvin Cook.
I am going to go with the bargain of, wait for it, Preston Williams.
Oh, no.
I'm doing it. I can't resist it. Obviously, Preston Williams was he had a big splash in the preseason and showed great chemistry with Josh Rosen. We saw that again after Josh Rosen officially took over for Ryan Fitzpatrick. He drew 12 targets, only caught 4 balls, but was in the coverage of Byron Jones. So that's, you know, not the easiest. Also had 3 red zone targets. He is the only piece. Listen, we talk a lot about not wanting to be attached to bad offenses, but bad offenses tend to be very cheap in daily fantasy, and somebody's got to catch the ball if the ball is to be caught. So that's the big question here in Miami. We did talk about the Redskins earlier and how even though they're a bad offense, they still have 2 potential fly players in McLaurin and Richardson. So to me, I like what Preston Williams is doing. A lot of people are like, no, 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 wait till after the bye. You know, you got to see what you can get. No, I'm not too afraid of the Chargers. We talked about how their defense isn't playing up to expectation this week. Casey Hayward has not been amazing. He's banged up again. I think Preston Williams could get lucky in this one, and he is going to see a ton of volume. So I like him for $14. My fade is OBJ. Matt went all in on the reasons why Cleveland is no good. Odell Beckham Jr. frankly just isn't seeming to be on the same page as Baker Mayfield.
Well, they can't get the ball down the field.
And he's $35 in DFS. So this is, to me, someone who's playing a brand name. I'm not going to pay up for that amount of money. Yes, he had an 89-yard touchdown against the Jets. That was the Jets. Marlon Humphrey is a good cornerback. He's a little bit banged up, but I think he's going to be able to handle himself just fine. I do not think you will have an ROI of 35 on OBJ in week four. So if you would like to choose your own bargains and fades, then you can do that on Yahoo DFS. We have an awesome 400K contest that you can check out at yahoosports.com/dailyfantasy. There's a $10 entrance fee, and 50K goes to the winner. I mean, who couldn't use 50K?
I think it might change me, so I'm going to pass.
You said that last week, and
did I? Am I just running back the same jokes now?
Damn. Yeah. Maybe you could buy some more jokes.
Oh.
Nice.
We will be back on Sunday night with more of Matt's jokes and our week four recap. You can follow us on Twitter at Yahoo Fantasy. I'm at @LizLoza_FF. That is @MattHarmon_BYB. And of course, thank you so much for joining us at Dalton Del Don.